The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter Number 7, Text Number 29, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on September 17th, 2008, in Sofia, Bulgaria.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, which is called The Status Quo, Chapter Number 29, Further Inquiries by Vidura, Chapter Number 7, Further Inquiries by Vidura, Text Number 29. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Varnashrama Vibhagamscha.
Varnashrama Vibhagamscha.
Rupashila Svabhavata.
Rupashila Svabhavata.
Rishinam Janma Karmani.
Rishinam Janma Karmani.
Vedasya Cha Vikarshanam.
Vedasya Cha Vikarshanam.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. O great sage, kindly describe the divisions and orders of human society in terms of symptoms, behavior, and the characteristics of mental equilibrium and sense control. Also, please describe the births of the great sages in the categorical divisions of the Vedas, purport. The four statuses and orders of human society, Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras, as well as Brahmacharis, Grihasthas, Vanaprasthas, and Sannyasis, are all divisions of quality, education, culture, and spiritual advancement attained by practicing control of the mind and the senses. All these divisions are based on the particular nature of each individual person, not on the principle of birth. Birth is not mentioned in this verse because birth is immaterial. Vidura is famous in history as born of a Shudrani mother. Yet he is more than a Brahmin by qualification because he is seen here to be the disciple of a great sage, Maitreya Muni. Unless one achieves at least the Brahminical qualifications, one cannot understand the Vedic hymns. Mahabharata is also a division of the Vedas, but it is meant for women, Shudras, and Vijabandhus, the worthless children of the higher section. The less intelligent section of society can avail themselves of the Vedic instructions simply by studying the Mahabharata. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jata Padakamala Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupa Sagrajata Sagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajiva Sadaita Savaduta
Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha.
So, Prabhupada is making the point very clear that one's spiritual advancement does not depend upon birth. If we try to base it on one's birth, then it is not spiritual. It is material. And this, also in the same vein, one cannot say that I cannot make spiritual advancement because of my birth. Because I have this nature, because I have that nature, therefore I cannot advance spiritually. Sometimes we hear devotees say, well, I have a certain nature, therefore it's difficult for me to advance. That means they're trying to blame their own lack of advancement on their birth. But that is again, that conception is wrong. You cannot blame your spiritual position on birth, or you, nor can you claim it by basis of your birth. The example given here is Vidura. He is considered very, very high class. Not because of his birth, he was born of Shudrani. So what is the practical lesson for us then, each one of us? What is the practical lesson to be derived from this? You have to make the endeavor to advance in Krishna consciousness. That's the point. Krishna is an equal opportunity employer. He doesn't say, well, you're from this background or that background, therefore you're no good, I don't want you. You know, we only want this kind of people in our Krishna consciousness movement. It's like in South Africa they used to say, if you're white, you're all right. And if you're brown, that refers to the Indians. If you're brown, all right, stick around. And if you're black, get back. That was their saying, you see, South Africa. So, Krishna is not like them. He doesn't judge you, well, you're white, or you're male, or you're female, or you're this or that. Simply, do you want to be his devotee or not? That's all. The only qualification to make spiritual advancement is the desire to be the devotee of Krishna. That's it. Nothing else. Doesn't matter if you come from a very pious background.
Без значение дали имате много издигнат происход.
A very sinful background.
Или много греховен.
Or if you're a highly educated and learned scholar, or you're an illiterate fool, doesn't matter if you're a little tiny child, or you're some, deteriorating senior citizen. Whatever you may be, come to Krishna. Because you're not the body. The body is just a covering. Do you think that body is you? Do you think you're male? Do you think you're female? Think again. Because that's not you. It's just a covering, that's all. So why be so worried about the covering? It comes and it goes, you see. It's like yesterday I flew from America and they broke my lock. My lock was very bent, so I tried to straighten it out and it just snapped, it fell apart. So am I to think, oh, my lock is broken, now my life is finished? No, just get a new lock, and I have one of you go to the store today and get me a new lock. That's all. So the body is also like that. What's the big deal if your body goes bad and you have to throw it away, you know? It's getting called death. Death means you throw away your body, you see. You trash your body. So what's the big deal if I die, you know? Just trash the body, get a new one. It's nothing more. It's like breaking your lock on your luggage. That's it. So devotee's not disturbed. Even if his body dies, they think, well, they tell you, well, you have terminal cancer, Prabhu. We give you 3 months to live. You have terminal cancer. So does Vodhi get all disturbed? Oh no, I'm going to die. No, he thinks, great. I always wanted to get serious about Krishna consciousness. Now I'm finally getting a chance to get a little sober. Three-month marathon. Hearing and chanting marathon for 3 months. You see. So devotee, you see, he's transcendental to all of these things, these interactions with the material modes of nature. No matter what may happen in this material world, he uses that to help him advance in Krishna consciousness. As I have previously described to you all, a intelligent businessman, he always moves his business forward. When the prices are down, what does he do? He buys. Yes. And when the prices go up, what does he do? He sells, that's right. So it doesn't matter, the market can be up, the market can be down, but his business is always going up. I've never been a sailor, but I did some research. And they sail the boat on the water. It doesn't matter which way the wind is blowing. The wind can be coming like this, you see. They can use that wind to go this way, or they can go, they can sail into the wind also. It's amazing, but they can actually sail into the wind. They use the wind to sail into the wind. So a devotee, he can take any situation, material situation. He can be healthy, he can be sick. He can be wealthy, he can be pure. He can be male, he can be female. He can use any situation to advance himself in Krishna consciousness. That is called transcendental. And you know what? If you can be like that, you'll never be disturbed by anything. You'll automatically be fixed in these principles, you see. You won't deviate from Dharma. You will not deviate from your vows. Why? Because you're getting a higher taste. You're getting so much juice from bhakti. She will say, what is the use of Maya? So much juice, what is the use? Who cares for Maya, you see? A beautiful prostitute can come and offer her body to me, you see. Would you just say, chant Hare Krishna? The devotee has no need to come down to the animal platform. Because there's so much pleasure in Krishna consciousness. There's unlimited oceans of pleasure in Krishna consciousness. Why should I come down to the platform of being a dog? When I can fly high in the spiritual sky. You understand? Who wants to come in for a landing when you can fly high in the spiritual sky? So one simply has to follow the rules and regulations very nicely. Chant your 16 round every day without fail. And strictly follow the regulated principles. No illicit sex. No hamburgers. No liquor. And no gambling. Strictly follow. You know, Prabhupada also said gambling includes sports also. He said, this ball, that ball. Many devotees now play sports. I even hear the GBCs are playing sports. But Prabhupada told us in Los Angeles, this ball and that ball, it's breaking the fourth principle. Do you all play the ball games here? Sports? Actually, you do? Huh? Yeah. Which one do you play?
Sometimes I play a little basketball with my brother.
Basketball with your Karmi brother? Yeah. To encourage him to associate with you or something?
Yeah, a little.
Yeah. Do you organize sports here amongst the devotees? No.
At least now.
Huh?
Before, in the past, yeah.
Used to.
Now devotees, they are too lazy.
Too lazy. They just have to sleep and eat. Well, some argue it's better they play sports and go to the movies, the Karmi movies. That's one argument I hear. At least they get together and associate without, you know.
It's,
that's the argument that I've heard, you know. On the internet, we have a conference for the Prabhupada disciples where we can discuss different issues. And I brought up this issue about sports. To see what my godbrothers and godsisters had to say about this. And I heard all kinds of interesting arguments. The argument is, well, it's better than going to see the Karmi movies, you know. But my counter argument is this, well, it's better to drink alcohol than it is to shoot heroin. That's my counter argument. So, but the real thing is this, don't, especially male devotees have a sporting propensity. It's a certain nature, like a passionate, competitive. Men have that masculine, competitive, you know.
You know.
Of course, we all have it, and women have it too, but especially men. So why don't we use that for Lord Chaitanya? Instead of playing sports, why don't we go out on Sankirtan? You know, distributing books or chanting the holy names. If we have the time to organize ball games, why don't we go out and spend the same time and go out and chant and dance on the streets or distribute books? In America, we used to be seen every day in every major city throughout the whole country on the streets singing and dancing the whole day. And now people say, oh, Hare Krishna, what happened to you? We used to see you on the streets. It was so nice. We miss you. Where are you? And the devotee says, well, we don't sing and dance. Now we play basketball. You see, we don't sing and dance in the streets. We have basketball games. So. You think Prabhupada would be very pleased? You think Krishna would be very pleased? Oh, they're having basketball games, volleyball. No, if you want to get out and do some sporting activities, sing and dance in the streets. Have a book distribution marathon, you see. Who can be the distribute more books? You see. Compete for book distribution. Instead of throwing the ball through the hoop.
You see.
This is my suggestion. Because Prabhupada said it's breaking the principle. So instead of doing something that Prabhupada said is breaking the principles, why don't we do that which Prabhupada said pleases him the most, distributing books? One of my disciples, Bhaktivinoda Das, he works a job. He's in the computer industry. He has a full-time job in the computer industry. And when he gets off work, what does he do? He takes books and he hits the street. And he approaches the people and he distributes books. And he loves it. He's intoxicated by book distribution. He tastes the sweetest nectar distributing books. And he wrote me a letter and said, well, is it better to go to the Sunday feast or to go on book distribution? He was tasting so much nectar from book distribution, saying, this is better than going to the Sunday feast or the temple. But I told him, you should go, you should invite everyone that you meet, everyone you distribute a book to, you invite them to the Sunday feast and tell them that you'll be there to personally instruct them, and then you should also attend the Sunday feast. So, the point is, if we make a little endeavor to absorb ourselves nicely in doing what Prabhupada wants us to do, we will become super enlivened in Krishna consciousness. You have to push yourself out of your comfort zone. Stretch yourself out of your present comfort zone. Do something more to please Krishna. Do something more to please Srila Prabhupada. And you'll be amazed by the results. So we have a few minutes left for questions. I can try to answer questions. Tulsi Prabhu.
I have two questions. First one is about the sports. I heard that Srila Prabhupada, he authorized some sports like swimming and wrestling between the devotees.
I've heard that. I've never seen where Prabhupada actually said that. This issue was also raised in the discussion. One devotee said that Prabhupada said, I said, where did Prabhupada say that? And he didn't know, but there was one case where Prabhupada came to San Diego, which is right, the temple is just right by the ocean. And Prabhupada said, are the devotees swimming regularly? And they said, no, Srila Prabhupada. They're too absorbed in preaching, and Prabhupada was very pleased. So, did we did hear that's has been said many times. But where did Prabhupada actually say that? I don't know. And did he organize wrestling events? Did Prabhupada personally organize and encourage them to actually run? Now let's have wrestling today, and I will watch. You see. Or let's have a swimming competition today and I will come and watch. Did he actually organize such events? He organized the other thing. So, if devotees want to... I see nothing wrong if devotees go to take bath and they swim around a little bit in the water. Nothing wrong. Or if devotees exercise, they do some sort of things for exercise. But to spend energy organizing ball games when we could be out singing and dancing in the streets doesn't make sense to me. Especially when you have Rupa Manohar. You have Rupa Manohar here. He leads the most nice Harinam Kirtan. I mean, in Sofia, you have the king of the Kirtan king, Bagley, Rupa Manohar. He can inspire people to sing and dance for hours by his sweet singing. You should engage him a lot in leading kirtans here. When I joined the movement, Sankirtan meant singing and dancing on the streets. We had book distribution, hadn't started yet. Prabhupada wrote me in my initiation, he said, go for street Sankirtan every day. That was Prabhupada's order, go out singing and dancing on the streets every day. How many days a week do you do singing and dancing on the streets here in Sofia? One or two days a week? That's something.
With one or two devotees.
Hmm?
One or two times in the week, but
that's something good.
Only a few devotees.
Only a few.
Three, four, five.
Three of them. That's something. It's a good start. So maintain that nicely and try to gradually increase that. Get more and more devotees engaged, you see. You should come in from the villages for singing and dancing with the devotees. You're very ecstatic in the kirtan. So you should come in from the village for singing and dancing. Any other questions? You had two.
Yeah, my other question was, we are saying that the mercy is for everyone. Sometimes it's looked like that in the course of preaching we have to make some discrimination. Because like, let's say, on the Sunday programs, if comes people who are really from the very low modes, then it's looked like that some of the more intelligent people, they don't want to be part of this company. So they go out. So, is it that we have to discriminate while we are preaching and first try to cultivate some more intelligent people and then we can try to gradually take over everyone?
Well, Prabhupada, there's a saying, first comes first class and then mass. It's very important that we first primarily cultivate the high class people. Because that's how we can get the mass of people. We want to get both. But if you get the high class people, then you get them solidly situated. Then through them you can get the mass of people. It's very important to get the high class people. Very important. We don't want to neglect the mass, but the class are more important than the mass.
And how much attention we have to give to high class people and how much attention to young people, etc.
Well, you have a number of preachers here. You can departmentalize it. You know, have certain people preaching to the youth. You should organize the preaching in such a way that everybody's being cultivated. You know, you have some devotees preaching to the high class people, some to the mass of people, and some to the youth, some to this group. You should arrange your preachers in such a way that everybody is getting cultivated. That's the best thing. And sometimes you may be surprised. That person that you thought was low class turns out to be high class. That happened in the Boston Temple. There was one spaced out hippie that was, I forget what his name was, but you know, they thought, well, he shouldn't even be here, you know. But they let him in, and he would like sleep in the stairway. I mean, just he acted in very strange ways, you know.
Boston, you know, in hippie,
but then years later, you heard that devotee who translated all the books, Kusha Krata Prabhu, translated all the books. He was, in the beginning, they thought he was some weird, spaced out hippie. We shouldn't even let him in the temple. He became a great Sanskrit scholar, translating so many books. So you never know, that person you think is too low class, he may be... That happened also with me. There was some in Houston Temple, one hippie couple, they showed up at the Sunday program, dirty hippies, smelly, dirty hippies.
Boston,
and the devotees thought, well, they're not worth, you know, they shouldn't... The devotees didn't, but I took an interest. Let me be kind to these people. And they became very big book distributors in our zone there in Texas. Mother Indrani Lamani, she became a huge book distributor, famous book distributor. So, you never know. We try to be kind to everyone, you see. That person you think is low class, they didn't turn out to be the highest class person. Okay, no, you had one last question. Is it short? One last. Okay.
Сега изведнъж казва, да, значи не трябва да тренирам. А той го пращам там, за да се получи някакво възпитание. Защото има спортове, които възпитават децата. Какво мисли Гурудев по този въпрос?
It is personally about Vipassida. He is training Aikido and Narada Muni Prabhu has sent him there to educate him, to give him some
training.
Some discipline. And there are some sports that give some good training, good education. Yes.
Discipline.
Yes. What do you think?
What's the point? This is for Kripa City, you're talking about?
Yes.
He's
training.
He's practicing Aikido now. So Narada Muni is asking, what do you think about this? Is it good for him?
To do what?
Aikido.
This is kind of martial arts.
Yeah, martial arts are okay. And, you know, I can always use a good bodyguard. Okay then, we'll stop here. Chantarad Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.